Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Family relationships are so important to right-thinking people. The family and home is the basic unit of society. And usually when things are not right at home, they're not right anywhere. We witness two extremes people have toward kinfolks. There is either great partiality, you know, this blood thicker than water kind of attitude, and the other is quite the opposite. With some, they treat their family worse than they would anybody else on earth. But who is dearer to us than our children and our parents? We can add to this the love we have for faithful brethren. Now, Jesus taught that our spiritual relationship to Him is far more precious than even family relationships physically. In Matthew 12, beginning with verse 46, "And while He yet talked to the people, behold, His mother and His brethren stood without, desiring to speak with Him. Then one said to Him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But He answered and said unto them that told Him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And He stretched forth His hand toward His disciples, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Now Christ was before His family, and Christ came before the family ever existed. Christ taught a spiritual kinship is of greater importance than physical kinship. But without question, the family has a special place in the heart. Jesus is not in any way being disrespectful toward members of His physical family. He is simply teaching us this basic fundamental truth. The followers of Christ, they are the ones that are the closest to us. But are you not impressed how much and how strongly the Scripture teaches about love for children? The relationship between God and the redeemed is pictured as a father-child relationship. God always has admonished care for widows and children, and forbade that there ever be oppressed. Jesus even compared those in the kingdom to be as children. And there are strong words underscoring parental responsibility in rearing children, both in the New and the Old Testaments. Yes, God has a special concern for children. And children should be treated as children. They're not simply small adults. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, it shows that there is a difference between being a child and being an adult. Now, we know that, but we do not always show that we know that. Children, by reason of immaturity, lack of knowledge and wisdom and experience, they have limited abilities in skills, in vocabularies, because they are in the early stages of learning. Some seem to expect children to act like adults, and some adults keep acting like children. But it's unfair and it is unreal to expect children to behave in a mature fashion, even as they are being taught to behave in that fashion. We must treat our children with tender compassion. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." Children will be considered as gifts from God. Consider the attitude of Samson's parents toward the child that would be born unto them. They considered him to be a gift from God. Psalm 127, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Eve considered her child as a man-child from God. And children can be the source of one of the greatest joys of life. In 3 John verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now there are several matters involved in producing this joy, and much of it depends upon how we treat our children and how we treat our parents. Yes, we should have respect for our children. They have feelings too, you know. Some parents just scream at their children, they yell at them, they snatch them and jerk them, physically slapping and knocking them about with the slightest provocation. Who has not seen little fellows crushed at heart because of the insensitive way some parents treat them? And often this is seen on the ball fields and in the grocery stores and other places. We should never abuse them, verbally or physically, that is wrong. We must recognize that each child is a unique person, and nobody can fill or take his or her place. It's dangerous to make too much comparison between children because they vary in talents and in dispositions. Some are quicker to learn than others. They possess different talents, but each is distinctive and each is worthy. One mother was trying to find out why one child turned out well but the other did not, and she said, "I treated them just alike." Well, that may have been the major cause of the problem. They were not just alike. They have to be considered individually. And even though they are different, we cannot be partial. Some may be easier to rear than others because dispositions differ. But there's the real need for the exercise of the golden rule in the upbringing of your children. You cannot treat a teenager like a preschooler or vice versa. Jacob's mistake regarding his sons was partiality toward Joseph, and it caused hatred from Joseph's brothers. We must always seek what is best for each child. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it teaches us not to provoke our children to wrath. Parents can sometimes make their children unnecessarily angry. Sometimes we may simply be trying to show them who's boss, and we become overbearing. Children who feel crushed and overpowered by arbitrary power, they learn rebellion, and they learn resentment. Provoking the worst from our children is an abuse, not the use of our authority. And seeking their highest good is to show true love. Now, you will not be the perfect parent nor have perfect children, but love covers many mistakes. Women are taught to love their children, Titus 2 and verse 4. You do not neglect nor mistreat those you love. A trait of the wicked was being without natural affection, Romans 1 and verse 31, which means the failure to love even your own flesh and blood. And some so-called mothers today have murdered their children. They have beat their children. They have tortured their children. They have aborted their children. My friend, God will not overlook that. It is the primary duty of parents to train their children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training is the parent's job. And this includes discipline. But that's not just punishment. Discipline means showing the way to go, as well as deterring the way not to go. In Genesis 18 and verse 19, God said of Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." You, my dear parent, you are authority. You're more than just another friend. By word and example, you have to show and to teach them the right from wrong. Show them the difference between truth and error and righteousness from evil. And if we spare the rod, which is a euphemism for discipline and training, we will indeed spoil the child. The book of Proverbs teaches that over and over again, does it not? But never does the word of God allow abusing the child. Eli's failure, although mostly he was a good man himself, his failure was that he failed to rightly discipline his children, 1 Samuel chapter 2. The most frustrated young people alive are those that are not trained to know the difference between right and wrong, and they are not taught individual responsibility for what they do. Children do not always heed good advice and direction, do they? But they will have to learn to make decisions, and in time they will make all of their own decisions, and we want it to be that way. But it is the task of parents to provide them standards and a sound basis upon which to stand in making their decisions. And when they have to decide without you, will they know how to decide? Will they know why to decide a certain way? You see, that's a part of the parents' job of ruling the house. Parents should make it easy as possible for their children to come to them and receive good counsel and good advice. Life is sometimes overflowing with discouraging things, and our children meet with disappointments also. They must be shown how to deal with them. We should not be the source of their discouragements. I have heard parents say to their children, "You never do anything right. Won't you ever learn?" I ate supper at a home one time, and a little boy was there, about 4 or 5, and he told me, "My daddy says I'm a bad boy." Well, I told him he was not bad. His father was very foolish in saying such things as that to his son. Now, children may do things sometimes that are bad, but that does not make them bad, the children. And they soon develop the sense that this is what is expected of them, and they do what is expected. Parents should help them succeed and build self-esteem and self-respect to show their worth, because they are souls, and that they are loved by their parents and they are loved by God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, we learn that parents are to provide and to protect, as well as to teach to stand. How can children get along well if nobody protects them from harm? Moses' mother cared for him and protected him. Joseph and Mary protected Jesus by taking him to Egypt. And the children cannot stand alone, but they must be taught to stand alone. And the time will come when you will not be there to prop them up. And they must learn to stand, and where to stand, and why to stand, and how to stand. The time comes when we must turn them loose, and that's not easy to do, but it must be done. And there are other elements that we could justly mention, but let me turn attention to something else. How we treat our parents depends on which stage of our relationship with them we are. We have different duties as minors than we do when we reach maturity, or when they become dependent upon us as we have been formerly dependent upon them. As minors, we are to love and obey. The child in the home has the duty to conform to the will of the parents. As mature men and women, we are to care for and provide for them, especially when they need us. Honoring parents means to give respect and special consideration. Children can bring joy and gladness to their parents, or they can bring reproach and sorrow and despair. How can people so live as to hurt their parents who cared for them when they were small? Parents sometimes make bad mistakes, but shall we always be unforgiving and make them pay as if their feelings do not matter to us? 3 John 4 is something we should provide for our parents to be able to say, that they have no greater joy than to hear that their children walk in truth. We owe them that. In Proverbs chapter 23, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." Included in showing respect is to speak kindly of them, doing things that show our love and appreciation of them. Disobedient to parents was a mark of the wicked Gentile world, Romans 1 and verse 30. As minors, we are to obey, just as Jesus was subject to Mary and Joseph while living in Nazareth. We must pay attention to their instructions. But parents have to sacrifice so much for their children, and they do it from love, and it is sacrifice nonetheless. Be thankful if you had good parents, and let them know you are thankful for them. And be sure your children have good parents, so they can be thankful for you someday. The time eventually comes, if all goes normally and is as usual, that your parents will become aged, if they live. They may be relatively helpless, in need of physical care and assistance. Children should provide. Requite their parents, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4, means to provide for them. Jesus rebuked some who gave gifts to their faith but neglected caring for their parents in Mark chapter 7, abiding by their own traditions and making the law of God of none effect. Dear friend, what you sow, you shall reap, and this ought to sober children. You need to show your children how to treat parents by the way you treat their grandparents. And when the time comes that you must bid them goodbye, and you stand by their coffin and grave, there is great comfort in the knowledge that you treated them properly. May God help us to treat our children and our parents as God would have us to treat them. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.